And the gun is Hurts. Barkley was left. Slot to the near side. Hurts back. Here comes the rush. He steps into it. He is going deep. It is caught. Complete. A.J. Brown to the 20, to the 15, to the 10, the 5. Touchdown! Hurts to Brown! 67 yards!
Oh, that's just fun to watch.
What a play, what a call as the Eagles go down to Brazil and get a victory, 34-29 over the Packers. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Zillion joining us as he does every Monday during the season. The voice of the Eagles, Merrill Reese. Merrill, how you doing today?
I am doing great. The Eagles are 1-0. The sun is shining, and it's wonderful.
Merrill, it is. And Friday night was an exciting back-and-forth kind of game. Merrill, there was a lot of moments where it felt like it could have teetered the other way. But early in that game, you know, I was so impressed, Merrill, with their defense holding the Packers after those early turnovers. Because it could have got, you know, they could have been in a big hole there. But the defense really clamped down. That felt like an underrated part that kind of let them get their skis back under them.
No, that's big. You're right, Joe. It could have been 14-0, and instead it was 6-0. And they overcame that with one touchdown. But it was. I think there were a lot of good things about this game. Now, was it sloppy? Yes. But you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of what used to be the Game 3 of the preseason that they called the dress rehearsal. Because this is the first time the regulars, especially on offense, were out there. And I watched the games yesterday. I watched a million games, and there was sloppiness all over the place.
Well, there really was. I mean, I agree with that. It's become that first week you have to get it all out. Luckily, Merrill, for the Eagles, they had Saquon Barkley to lean on as other things were sloppy. How impressed were you with his first game? I mean, it's the first time an Eagle has three touchdowns in their debut since T.O. back in 04. How impressive was Saquon for you?
Well, I wasn't surprised because I've been following him since his days at Penn State. I love the Nittany Lions. He's great. And I think he rejoiced that he had a real offense. Of line to run behind.
Well, he does now, and he made plays. And Merrill, not just on the ground game, you know, we know he's a great runner, but it feels like they haven't had a running back here in a while that could catch the ball out of the backfield for a big explosive play. That touchdown play, both the design, the throw by Jalen on the catch and the corner of the end zone, that was an incredible play to get them going.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was a great play, and he made it. It was a perfect pass to him, and you couldn't have placed that ball any better. And that's the thing that gets lost. People are talking about Jalen Hurts, that his ball security wasn't good. We made a few mistakes, but the fact of the matter is, you look at those passes, the one to Barkley, the perfect lead on the one you just heard to A.J. Brown, and those pinpoint slants to Devontae Smith. That was great passing.
Well, it was. And speaking of the passing game, Merrill Reese joining us here. Merrill, it was noticeable just with our eyes watching, and then I saw some of the numbers the next morning. They ran so much more motion, Merrill. It was one thing that wasn't really part of the offense last year, and I think, you know, they needed to add more of that. And with Kellen Moore here, what did you think of the first game he called? They used motion on 65% of their plays.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved it because motion gives the quarterback a read of what the defense is doing, and it confuses the defense. They did a lot of really good things. It was creative. You couldn't tell when they broke the huddle what formation they were going to line up in. They were, for a team that was so predictable late last season, this team was unpredictable and had a different look on almost every snap.
Merrill, you said you weren't surprised by Saquon, and I believe you, and like a lot of people weren't. But I think we all were surprised by just how productive Zach Bond was at linebacker. Remember, I'm trying to think of the last time a linebacker had a game like that here. You know, Nigel Bradham had a few during the Super Bowl season that really stood out, but 15 tackles and a pair of sacks, that was an incredible performance by a guy we really didn't talk that much about this summer.
You know, he's a candidate for Defensive Player of the Week in the NFC this week with those kinds of numbers. And he played very well in the preseason. We were at camp every day and we watched him. And he did stand out. He made a lot of plays because, don't forget, he is a guy that when he came over here as a free agent, you figured, well, a special teamer and maybe in the rotation, and that was it. But he came in and looked like a legitimate starting linebacker in this game.
He did. He was all over the place. Coverage, pass rush, in the run game. He played a whale of a game. Merrill joining us here on a Merrill Monday. Merrill, what did you make of Quinyon Mitchell in his first start? He did not look like a rookie to me. I thought he was...
Yeah, he was out there balling.
He played really well.
You know what? And this is going overboard. This is going overboard after
one game. Monday. It's the first week.
It's overreaction Monday. You're good.
You're good.
But you know what? he's going to be an All-Pro. They didn't miss on him. For a young man to come in, and they've been saying this about him from the day he arrived. He did all the prep work prior to camp. He came in. When you watched him during the preseason, he didn't look anything like a rookie. He is out there. He is self-assured. And he's going to have a bunch of interceptions, too. You wait and see.
Merrill, you spoke a little bit earlier about Jalen Hurts, but what did you make of his performance overall? There were some definite ups. I thought the last drive, converting the first downs, running and throwing, and he stood in there against the blitz and did better. There were also the downs. I mean, he had the two interceptions. I'm not going to put the fumbles too much on him. That seemed like a center exchange with him, and they'll get that down. But two more passes that could have been picked off. What did you make of Jalen's night?
Well, it happens. But, you know, a lot of times, at first, one of the things he did well was on that several occasions, he just gave up on a play and threw it out of bounds rather than put it in harm's way. I like that. I like the way he passed overall. And he knows that he's got to cut down on that, but he's a great quarterback. You know, I hear people say, well, he's not running the way he once did. You know, he's got the same athletic ability he had 2 years ago. He's just as fast. You'll see. Teams are more prepared because on a couple of the quarterback keepers, they were right there. Nothing he could do. But I think he is going to be in store for a tremendous season. I think he's got everything you need. He's got the head. He's got the intelligence. He's got the ability to recognize defenses. And he's got a great arm. He's very, very accurate now.
Well, the accuracy was there on some of those deep shots, and they hit it to A.J. Brown there, and some good ones to Devontae as well. Merrill, we always appreciate the conversation after a game, especially a win. Merrill, have a great week, and we'll talk next week after another, hopefully, Eagles victory. Thank you, Merrill.
Merrill.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Hugh. And I look forward to it.
There he goes. Merrill Reese, the voice of the Eagles there. Talking about Zach Bond. How about that? I know it's Overreaction Monday, but I love Merrill.
No, he bought out.
I love Merrill throwing the Quinyon Mitchell take in there. Did you hear that? Quinyon Mitchell will be an All-Pro is the Merrill Reese prediction.
Now you got to do it. Got to go out there and do it, man.
I was impressed by Quinyon. I didn't feel like I was watching a rookie corner. I know he had one. The guy got behind him, and they threw it over him for a big first down, and he had one penalty.
That's to be expected. Yeah. He's a young guy. He was out there talking trash. He was playing his game, and you like to see it. I know that it rubs some people the wrong way. Tomorrow, he's talking too much trash, but listen.
No, I like that in a corner.
But he's been talking trash all year long.
He did it to AJ and Cam.
Yes, and now you, all of a sudden, when the season starts, you want him to stop. Man, stop it, man. Stop being a snowflake.
No, that's one position I like a trash talker. Like, if you could
got to back it up, though.
Yeah, but if you could play a corner and you want to talk trash to receivers, I'm good with it.
Yeah, you got
to
back it up. I mean, and you're going to have moments. Like, this is the thing. You're going to have moments where you're going to be talking trash, and you're going to walk into a buzzsaw. How you handle that? Like, how do you handle that adversity? You keep talking trash, or do you become humble? I think he's going to be fine, though. I really do.
I do feel like a lot of the really good corners, though, like the really good ones, they have that kind of attitude.
They got that swagger. You got to have that because you're on an island. Remember they used to call it Reeves Island?
Yeah, of
course. Like most good corners I know, they got pretty cool nicknames, and they back up what they're talking about.
No, he was awesome. 215-592-9494. Will in the Northeast is up talking Eagles after a big victory. What's up, Will?
Gentlemen, how y'all doing today?
Good, Will. What's up, pal? What are you feeling?
Y'all interrupt me while I was eating. I was eating my words right now.
Oh, I do that every day. So, yeah.
What you do, Will? What you do?
Well, he was a Derrick Henry guy, not a Saquon guy.
Oh, okay.
No, you know, like I think, but everything that I said Friday, they did. I said that they need to activate all their weapons. They did that. And I said I was a little worried about their tackling, which was a little bit off in the second half. Overall, they look damn good. You know what I mean? Just to be the first game and, you know, playing in that type of environment. Everything went well for us, and I'm so happy for him. And I gotta, you know, like I say, I'm a man of my word. I gotta take my hat off to Saquon. Listen, you had a hell of a performance. All I want you to do is be consistent with it. That's all. And I wanted to touch up on the Derrick Henry situation Friday, but I ain't want to blow the move.
Now I hear you.
The Derrick Henry situation. Y'all watch that game, right?
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute, what's wrong with it?
Well, he didn't do much on Thursday.
They didn't feed him the ball. Then they set him out majority of the game. Who does that?
Well, they were down. I mean,
they were trying to get back.
They
in
had
the game.
A throw to get back in.
I get it.
And I still, he'll help that team. And we'll, the Saquon Derrick Henry Bowl will happen in December. But Saquon was electric on Friday.
Saquon Derrick Henry Bowl.
Well, it's the Will Bowl, is what it is.
Okay, gotcha.
And Will, we appreciate the phone call.
Gotcha.
Look, there's the Saquon contract and decision to pay him and to pay a free agent running back. That it'll take 3 years for us to have the full picture. But the first impression, though, it was great. I mean, he was great on Friday night in his first game as an Eagle. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. All right, we'll get back to all your reaction coming up here. Biggest takeaway from the game, was it the fact that they just won and they got out with a victory? Or does Jalen's performance really hit you? Jalen, the way I saw it, did not play good enough against a big-time defense. You put him against a big-time defense, that might have been four picks. And he made too many mistakes. He made some good plays, but he needs to clean up the mistakes. 215-592-9494. Plus, after the break, Hugh is going to try and answer the question most of us had from Friday night. Did Bryce Huff actually play? Because the rumors are telling me he didn't. I'm not sure. Hugh will break it down next. 215-592-9494. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. What a great NFL weekend that was. And you have another chance to start the season with a big return on FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sports. Well, you get started with $200 of bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet on tonight's game. All right, let's go with a Breece Hall anytime touchdown. Let's go with over the yards for Garrett Wilson, and let's go with an anytime touchdown for George Kittle. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to make every moment more of the season. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilly, Howard Eskin's going to join us, by the way, coming up at noon today. His take on the game. Now that we've had about 48 hours to kind of digest this thing. Eagles 34, Packers 29. The win, Saquon, Jalen, what has hit you the most from the game on Friday? Hugh, I would say one thing we wish would have hit us a lot would have been the pass rushers, the outside guys, you know, the stand-up pass rushers. But they didn't do much. They combined for no sacks in one hurry. That was by Josh Sweat. But Hugh, the guy that everyone's really talking about or wondering about Bryce Huff. They gave this guy $51 million. It is ironic, and I understand that positional value in the NFL is how contracts go. But like, you watch the game on Friday, and if you were an alien, you came down from outer space, and I said, the Eagles paid Bryce Huff and Saquon Barkley this offseason to come here. And I said to you, which one got paid more money? You would have said, well, the guy that was the best player on the field, Saquon. No, the truth was Bryce Huff was their biggest contract to the free agency this offseason. Hugh, he looked invisible at times. He wasn't making plays. He wasn't hitting Jordan Love. What did you notice? As a guy who's done what he's trying to do, what was going on Friday?
First of all, he's playing left outside linebacker. He was slipping a little bit. I'm watching, as we talk about this, Joe, I'm kind of watching the film. A couple times I saw his rush. He got off the ball a little bit late because they had the actual tight end over there. And it kind of, you know, threw him off a little bit because he's lining up outside the tight end because he's worried about, you know, that release of the tight end. The tight end gave him a little bit of push, and he got off his pass rush. I feel like he's still getting comfortable playing the position that he's playing and playing every down. Like I said when I talked to Elliot, dude, playing first and second down and then having enough juice left to rush on third down. There was a couple times he was out there, he looked a little tired. He looked a little tired. I think he's still getting comfortable in the role that he's in. Now, as the game progressed, he had some better pass rushes. And he has to understand, man, as small as you are, because I'm like I said, I'm looking at it right now. As small as you are, you have to use your speed to your advantage. A lot of times, he just line up wide, and the tackle's just taking him up the field. Mm. And he's not threatening that inside at all, because there's a lot of space inside if he decided to take the inside move to get to the quarterback. He just has to get comfortable playing that position. I think it's going to be a little while, man. You got to be a little patient with Bryce. I still got him down for 22 sacks, though.
This you got to be a little patient. His career as an Eagle or this year?
No, this year.
Okay. We got to alter that?
I said that with a straight face, too.
I mean, come on.
I'm saying it with a straight face. Because sometimes, I'm like I said, I'm looking. He has a little bit of a tail. When he's pass rushing, he likes to get in all fours. When he's playing the run or he's trying to see what's going on, he's standing up. So that's you know he's not pass. So he's kind of easy to fool. He's gonna have to figure out whether or not he wants to be a up pass rusher or a down guy. You know, because they're gonna look at that. And they're going to use that against him a little bit. But he's still getting comfortable.
We might need the Twitter account that has tracked the runs tracker for Hugh to track the Bryce sacks.
Stat, yeah.
If the guy wants to change the account over.
And how many sacks he needs to average
per game
the rest of the way.
So, of all the things Friday.
Sacks come in bunches, man.
Hopefully. We need bunches. Of all the things Friday on defense, the pass rush, the edge rushers are the one that I find the most troublesome, worrisome. Like, the secondary gave up some plays, but I don't think Avante Maddox should start anymore. And once guys are healthy, I don't think he's going to start. I think they'll get him off the field. And I think that secondary could be okay.
Yeah, the secondary is going to be fine.
The linebackers played pretty well. The secondary made some mistakes, but I think that'll fix itself as they get more experience and get Cooper on the field, get Isaiah Rodgers back. And the defensive tackles made some plays. Jordan Early, Jalen Carter's a stud.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle, it's the edge rushers. That was our biggest concern before the season, and I didn't feel anything Friday to make me feel like, oh, they're good there.
Yeah, and I guess really my question about the whole Bryce Huff thing and the pass rush in general was like, how valid of an excuse is the poor field conditions and then really not being able to get
to them? I think that's somewhat valid. When you're a smaller, speedy guy, I mean, he was slipping and slide, man. I know that when Howard comes on, he's going to say that probably shouldn't have been an issue. It really kind of was an issue. I know we don't want to admit that, but we've seen two times where the field has played somewhat of a factor in the game. And you know, whether you like it or not, it did play a factor in the game.
Panic meter on Bryce Huff. Is it at a 0 out of 10, or is it like a 1 or a 2?
I'm not panicking yet.
Okay.
So, like I said, I saw some moves from him. He got something about him. He just needs to figure out how he's going to use that to get to the quarterback. Because like I said, Joe, He has that speed off the corner. He just needs to engage a lot faster. He needs to engage that and tackle a lot faster than what he did in this game.
So I'll say this about the pass rush. Next Monday is an opportunity for them. I was watching some of the Steelers-Falcons game. They're going to play the Falcons, obviously.
Oh, they got after them.
Kirk's off the Achilles. Kirk Cousins was never much of a mobile guy anyway, but he can't move right now. He just stands there. Yesterday, he didn't move much at all. Now, if Kirk is allowed to stand there, he could throw, right? He could pick you apart. He's done that to the Eagles many times in the past. If they get to him, though, he'll go down for a sack, or he'll get picked off like he did yesterday. So the pass rush has got to be better next Monday. 215-592-9494. Hopefully the next time we do a Hughes breakdown, it's for multiple sacks for Bryce Huff and not another shutout. Zero.
But I will say this. They might have to find a left defensive end.
Excuse me?
they might have to figure out.
They just paid $151 million.
I don't think. Like, just watching the film and watching those guys over there, they don't really have any. They don't have anybody that's that left that is physical. I feel is physical enough to be that left end. Brandon's 36 years old, man.
He outsnapped Bryhoff and Smith, by the way.
Brandon, come on, man. You about to put that? I know Brandon's. He's still balling, but that's a lot.
I agree.
That's a lot.
I think we guessed it on Friday. He would outsnap the other guys, and he did. All right, we'll see how it moves forward. 215-592-9494. Perry in Philly's up. What's up, Perry?
Nolan Smith asked to be a rusher, though. That's
pretty good. Hey, guys.
Hey,
win's
Perry.
Win's a win. That's what I always say. Win's a win. Super pumped. My coach used to say win's a win. But like everyone's touched on, Bon, he was amazing. I've never seen a linebacker like that since Trotter. I'm very pumped about that. And like most people said, Quinyon is a stud. The guy, I'm so excited. I feel like we got that cornerback one right now.
Yeah, Perry, you don't want to overreact to a rookie in his first game, but sometimes you could just see a guy that can play. And Quinyon Mitchell can play. I mean, and I thought they tested him, the Packers, early in the game. They threw deep to the end zone to Christian Watson, and he's right there with them. Like, I was like, all right, he can cover. He can play at this level.
He's got the swagger, which I love. But another thing I wanted to touch on, I don't know if you guys heard at all, like the season ticket member event that's been going on. And if you have season tickets, the Eagles sent you an email. You come. They gave away the coolest hat. It shows your section number on the side and then how long you've been a season ticket member. And it was amazing. I brought my four-year-old there. Went through, they did a tour. You got to see the Super Bowl, you got to try on Super Bowl rings and just see how awesome it was to see his face light up, get on the field. And it's amazing. You see this ownership, and Jeffrey Lurie is such a nice guy. I've ran into him before, and it just night and day between the Eagles and the Phillies and the Sixers. And I'm not here to talk too much about the Sixers, but Josh Harris owning the Redskins, it's so hard for me to sit at a Sixers game and give them money when it just feels like such a business. And you got the Phillies and the Eagles, and just it feels like a family.
It is, Perry. It is night and day. You said it. It's a family thing, and it resonates. I mean, Perry, we were, and that's really cool, that event you got to do in the hat and bringing your kid. And Perry, we appreciate the call. Hugh, we were at the link on Friday doing the pregame. And we had Dave Spadaro on, for his segment during the pregame show. And you were stayed for a little bit for the party, right? The Eagles watch party.
The watch party, yeah.
And David told us, and we could feel it just being on the plaza there doing the pregame show, that the Ravens on Thursday night held a similar kind of party.
Only three people came?
Yeah, I think like 1,000 or something, or 1,500, three, whatever the number was. But
three sounds just so bad.
Why even open the doors? But like Baltimore got 1,000 or whatever, 2,000 people to watch the game at the stadium when their team was in Kansas City. And that's fine. That's, not to rip them. That's fine. But compared to here, how many people were there? Dave said like 10,000 or 15,000?
10 or 15. I think they said they sold like 10,000.
It was 9,500 to 10,000.
Yeah, about 10,000, something like that. So, yeah, that was pretty impressive, man. And they did it big. They had food spread out for everybody. They had the concessions for most people that in that area. And it was nice. Had the big screen, brought out some old old-ass Eagles.
Like you.
Such as myself. Me and Trey. We had a good time, man. Trey was doing an autograph sign. It was a fun time. It really, really was. It was great to see all the Eagles fans that were out there.
And NBC kept panning to the crowd at the link when the Eagles scored. That was kind of cool. Like Saquon scored, and then they show the people at the link going crazy for Saquon's touchdown. That was really fun. Robert in Germantown. What's up, Robert?
Hey, guys. Beautiful day. I'm driving out here in Kyle Country, Delco. Who knew it could be so beautiful?
It is a beautiful area. Robert, what are you thinking today?
I'm thinking our defensive line stinks. I mean, where were they? Carter, Davis. I was happy with Vaughn. I've heard you talk about that for the last while. And was happy with Marshall, and Blankenship played well. But where is our defensive line? I noticed, by comparison, Dallas dominated their defensive line. Micah Parsons, they just went nuts. And some of the other teams, too, were really getting back. We didn't touch the guy. Didn't hurt him at all.
No, not enough,
but
Robert.
We did hurt him.
Well, they did hurt him at the end, unfortunately. Yeah, he hurt his knee. Jalen Carter got him at the end when he's got a knee sprain. But most of the game, Robert, yeah. Jordan Love was like a little bit shaky in the pocket, and I think that he was slipping a little bit on the field. But in terms of being hit as he threw, or they did.
No, he was pretty comfortable.
Yeah, the edge rushers weren't good enough. I mean, like they have to be better if this team's going to go far.
Indeed, but I did love Bond's play. I've been calling for good linebacker play for years, and finally I think we got some linebackers back there who are doing what they're supposed to do. Be effective, tackle people, don't miss tackles. It was great to see, guys.
And it was not just one facet. And Robert, we appreciate the phone call. I mean, Hugh, the thing about Bond on Friday, it's one thing if, you know, he got a couple of pass rush opportunities and he made a couple of plays. He also had 15 tackles in the run game. He was making most of the plays, Zach
Bond. He was very, very active. Like I said, he's probably like, there's a lot of times where you look at some of the plays that were made, and it wasn't a whole lot of cats out there trying to tackle people. At least he was one of them.
Yeah.
He was one of them. There's a lot that you have to clean up, but at the same time, there's a lot that you can be proud of when you watch this Eagles team play, because they bowled their neck when they had to, especially in the beginning of the game. I'm pretty sure nobody thought that it was going to go the way that it did with your back against the wall like that. And Vic Fangio, Coach Fangio, had to pull some rabbits out of his hat. You talk about, remember early on, we talked about, is Vic a magician? Yeah.
He had some magician moments on
Friday. Yeah, he had some magician moments. Like, I mean, you got to give him his props, man, especially when you talk about the lack of pass rush that you got against that quarterback. Come on, man.
So
he's a magician.
Here's some magician work. Dumbledore. If you have
call
a chance,
him Dumbledore.
Go back and watch the Reed Blankenship interception. That, I mean, Reed made the play, right? I want to give Reed credit. But that play was a Vic Fangio interception. If you watch it, Bond faked a blitz. Like, he faked he was going to pressure, and then he dropped back and got in the tight end's way, and then, like, it kind of threw the route off.
Yeah.
And then Reed jumped up and made the pick. I mean, if you had told me in the first quarter that they were going to win the way they did, I would have said, I don't know. I mean, it was going the wrong way, but they buckled down. They buckled down. Not sure about this one. They buckled down and stopped him in the red zone.
That needs to be used more.
Not sure about
that. I heard that a few times. They were like,
really?
With certain people talking.
Jordan in Utah's up. What's up, Jordan?
Hey, what's up? How you doing?
Good, Jordan. What's up, pal?
First of all, I'm a huge fan of Hugh Douglas. Thank you for what you did for the Eagles.
Well, thank you very much, Jordan. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. I mean, if they would have, you know, I wish they would have signed you for a $51 million contract other than Bryce Huff.
Well, so does Hugh.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, what are we paying for?
Probably would have been about the same output at the first game, though.
Does she do anything for us?
Yeah, but I think you could do a better job than you've been doing. Even at the age you are.
At 53, I can still... Nah.
You couldn't have been less productive on Friday. You couldn't have been less productive. He had zero tackles.
He had one tackle, didn't he?
Was it one?
I think he had one.
Okay, I thought it was zeros across the board.
Well, I'm looking like, as we're talking, the game is on. It looked like he had one tackle.
Let me check the official box.
Let me go on this.
Even if he had one, I think you could have had two.
I appreciate you having that much faith in me.
Jordan, what do you think about Jalen's play?
Jalen's play, I mean, the interceptions were concernful. I get it. But, like,
one.
I think he'll be fine moving forward. I think, you know, I think going forward, like, he's a great player. So I think they'll clean up things. I think he's in a different offense for the first time with, you know, he's had different coordinators every year he's played, really. So I think moving forward, he'll be just fine. I just, you know, it was concerning watching it. Of course, the first quarter was like, it was awful. It was something we didn't want to see. But like, I think moving forward, he'll be great.
Well, I think that he'll certainly be better, Jordan. We appreciate the phone call, man. We appreciate you listening. So Jalen will be better. But see, here's what troubles me about what we saw Friday. If it was the first time he had shown poor decision-making, I think I would just brush it away. Oh, new coordinator, right? This was last year. You know, Jalen Hurts 2 years ago, and really in his first year, too, as a starter in 2021, I thought his best attribute was he didn't make mental errors. He didn't put the ball in harm's way very often. Mm-hmm. He protected the football. That has changed. I mean, the numbers don't lie. It's changed now over the last 2 years on Jalen Hurts. All right, so we did officially find, yes, it was one tackle for Bryce.
Yeah, one tackle. Yeah, and like I said, I watched the game and I saw it. I was like, oh, he got tackled.
But he did have the hat trick in these categories. The zero sacks, zero tackles for loss, zero quarterback hits. It's kind of what we're paying him to
do. Hey, Bryce. If you're listening to the station right now, don't take it personal, man. I mean, it is what it is. You got next week. You got next Monday night. Let them know. Show them what you can do next Monday night, bro.
Is he just saving it for the home crowd? Is that what it was?
That's what it is. He's saving it for the sequel.
I like that.
He's saving it for the field that he got after us on. No, we played up there.
Yeah, that was in New York.
It would have been better if that would have been the case. But anyway.
It's a good story. I like it.
Yeah, you know me. You know I like to embellish this.
Just weaving a nice tale here. Derek.
Just doing my best.
Derek and Paola. Hey, Derek.
Yo, it's like y'all like Comedy Central, man.
What we do? Listen, I'm just saying.
Bryce Huff, that's his first game, man. He ain't paying all that money to go out there and dominate in one game. We gotta.
Well, you know, I don't know. Hey, Derek, that dog might not hunt because, you know, Bond went out there. He dominated first game.
You might not do nothing else. You might not hear Bond's name the rest of the season.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
The thing that I'm getting from the Eagles game, and after them first two turnovers, my head did go down. But the most encouraging thing that I got was the Eagles, last year, we would have lost that game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Two turnovers inside the red zone. We gave up 6 points. The snap with Juergens and Hurts and all that stuff going on. I feel like this team is definitely a whole lot tighter right now through adversity than they were last year already. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I like, Derek? I think Friday gave us the evidence that they've moved past last year. Because I agree with you. If this happened at the end, if this happened in December of last year, they don't find a way to win. Like they would have fallen apart after the first quarter.
And listen, the other thing is, a lot of them young cats on the team, they ain't never been on the airplane for 10 hours, cuz. You flying 10 hours over there, never piping out the country. The Eagles, man, that was a good win, man.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt.
If we could do that with everything. Jalen Hurts, man, he'll tell you flat out, yeah, I got to play better. I felt like that first interception, he was antsy. After that little slippage with Saquon and it backed him up, and they was a little antsy, so that was a bad ball. That one that he threw in the end zone to AJ, I could live with that because if AJ don't slip, that's not an interception. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But all this talk about he can't run no more. Yo, these DNs is 6'5", 220 pounds, bro.
And they rolling.
They running 4'5", 4'6". Hurts is probably a 4'6" guy at best. These guys are athletes,
grown
man. So him not getting the corner, if they're flanked out wide like that, that don't mean he's not fast no more. He can't, you know, up the middle is different, but getting around that edge with these young boys they got out there, that's a tough task, man.
Sure. Well, and
he's going to be good, man.
Well, I like Friday
got a lot of weapons, man.
They do. They put up 34 despite turning the ball over twice. That's the positive sign.
That's a big game, right? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, look, you got what? It's 11:30, right? You got till 2 o'clock, man. Throw some positivity. Green Bay went home with a loss, and they lost their quarterback for a couple weeks.
Man. Oh, that could have been the end of their season. Yeah, yeah, well, they're lucky.
How he got lost. So, some, like, desperation, Hail Mary, you know what I'm saying?
They could be in some negative,
like that,
Joe.
So.
Who's being negative? Yeah, look, Saquon's awesome, and Bond was on. And Bond was the best 53 I've seen in this uniform, maybe ever.
Leave Bryce Huff alone. Leave him alone.
No!
Here's the deal. There's no positive, there's no negative, there's just what we saw, right? And what we saw is the win is great.
But it sounds so negative, though.
Bryce Huff?
Yeah, it is.
He didn't do anything, Hugh.
They got a tackle.
Oh, God.
You know how hard it is to get a tackle in the NFL?
Well, I couldn't do it, but he's paid to do it.
I don't give a shit.
All right, can we comment on what Derek said about the speed of Jalen Hurts?
Yes.
It's very obvious to my eyes he's not as fast as he was relative to the league 2 years ago. I mean, like that. He used to get the corner. He doesn't get anymore. Now, he could still run a little bit. Hugh, the last drive, he converted to first downs running. Yeah. I'm not saying he's like a statue now.
Kind of.
But he can't get the corner. I want him to stop trying to get the corner. It feels like a waste of a play.
I've been saying that. I said that even before the season
started.
Yeah,
but you didn't say it because he can't get the corner.
I didn't say it because he couldn't run. I'd say it because it adds more weight to it. It has more heft when it happens. When it's not expected. See, Jalen's still playing like people don't know he's a running quarterback, or people try to, you know, make him run. Like that's how Green Bay played him the other night. That's why it was so easy. They had a spy on him. And every time he took off running, they had somebody there for
him. He used to beat that spy.
He used to.
Yeah.
Now he's not so much. Whether that is because guys have gotten faster, whatever it is. But the bottom line is this. He ran when he had to, and he came up big in the fourth
and he
quarter.
Did. And
that's all I need from him. That's it.
That's fine. We have to eliminate the wasted plays where he just goes to the right.
Who was that talking crazy, talking about six design runs for him? Friday, when we did – we did the show Friday. Who said something about six design? No.
Oh,
no
Spadera,
six design.
Spadera.
No, we don't need that.
Well, not, if he's, not if he's running at this
we
speed.
We need to stop it. We don't need that many runs. Which you might hit me
well,
with.
Well, I just like, I don't want to hear about other guys, the defense, now defensive players are all of a sudden faster from 2 years ago. Like, that feels like the most.
I'm trying to be optimistic.
Big time. I know you are.
Just call for what it is.
I feel like COVID.
Did he say it sound like COVID?
Coping.
Oh. Coping.
Yeah. Like coping like with the fact that Jalen has clearly lost his step. I don't want to pile on the guy. I like the fact that he clutched up in the fourth quarter. I think the reality that we have to face is
clutching up.
He did. I think the reality we have to face with this guy is that he's not the get-the-edge type of runner anymore. He's more of like and this sounds weird to say about a quarterback, he's like a downhill power runner. Like, they get him the ball while he's just, like, running right up the gut, and that's where he looks the best. And, like, when he took that dude, he carried a couple guys, like, laid his shoulder down and got the first down. Like, that's the kind of running that Jalen has to do. The whole, like, read option thing was so ineffective. And I always go back to what Nick Bosa said after the 49ers game. Like, there's clearly a concerted effort by defensive coordinators out there to stop Jalen Hurts from doing that. And that was clear on Friday.
So I've mentioned this a lot this offseason. And if he was a running back, which he's not, he's a quarterback. But when he runs and he takes off, right, he's running. If he was a running back and I said to you he had 1,100 carries on his body since the start of college, you know what you might say?
Derrick Henry.
He lost a step. And that Jalen Hurts has run the football over 1,100 times from Alabama to Oklahoma to the Eagles. It's natural. It makes sense that he may have just lost a step in terms of speed. And that's okay. He can still be effective. He can still win. This happened to Russell Wilson, Hugh. Not the Russell Wilson now that's a backup or whatever he is. Like, 6 years ago in Seattle, Russell lost a step. He was still effective for a while. You could be effective as a mobile quarterback, just not quite as fast as he used to be. He's in that range now. 215-592.
You might not see Russell Wilson this season.
Yeah.
Russell's in that Donovan Viking stage of his career.
Hey, the worst thing you could have happen to you is that calf getting hurt, and Justin Fields doing what he did.
Yeah, the oven's beeping for Russell because he is cooked. 215-592-9494. Your phone calls, reaction to the game, Jalen's performance, and we'll let you hear what Jaws said post-game about what he saw from Jalen Hurts. That's next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Yes, let me tell you about Hatfield. And we are heading into the most wonderful time of the year. That's football season. And what's on the menu for football season? Pork, of course. Get ready for game day with Hatfield and put some pork on your fork. Elevate your kickoff cuisine with Hatfield's winning lineup of marinated pork tenderloins, bacon, and ham. Whether you're a tailgate king or a gridiron gourmet, Hatfield helps you savor the taste of victory. Visit simplyhatfield.com for recipes. Find your flavor with Hatfield.
Year five, he can't be making those mistakes.
Right, right. He almost made a mistake at the end of the game when he threw that ball in the flat that should have been picked off to go the other way.
Yes.
We would have been behind late in that game. I don't know if you saw the corner.
Fumbled on the goal line.
Right. A couple decisions he made were not the right decisions. So, I was concerned about those reads. And I thought he played a little fast again. He was leaving the pocket. The offensive line, I thought, was sensational.
Yes, they were.
He had a lot of time. But also, I'd see this. And when this happens, it's not a good sign for quarterback. It means you're dropping your head and you're looking. Your eyes got to be up and scanning the field, down the field. When you start doing this, you can't see anything else. And that means he's looking for the run. And I saw too much of that. So I think it's something they have to begin to coach him a little bit harder on.
Jaws in the postgame show, NBC Sports on Friday. Critical Jaws. Of Jalen Hurts. And that one, Hugh, we've talked a lot about the couple fumbles. I think that was more just center exchange. They'll figure that out.
Yeah.
The two picks, one maybe, he's kind of pressing early. All right, first quarter new offense. The last one, we got people defending. He's trying to make a play in the end zone. That one that Jaws talked about, that may have been the most alarming one. That play made no sense. He threw it to the flat. The defender's just standing there. If the defender catches that football, this entire station is in meltdown mode today.
Yeah, we have a different conversation. No question about that.
Yeah, they recovered, and he recovered from that. And that last drive was impressive by Jalen Hurts, especially the runs and the throws to Devontae. Devontae might have been the most underrated player in that game on Friday. 8 targets, 7 catches in traffic. Loved what I saw to him. 215-592-9494. Terrence in Springfield. Hey, Terrence.
There we go. Huge old Kyle, what's up, man?
Hey, Terrence. What's up, buddy?
Man, I was telling Kyle, it was a sloppy win, but I'll take it. I'm going to go to the negatives first. Jalen Hurts had a couple bad passes where he had one where he threw it like triple coverage, got picked off. The one he threw in the flat that almost got for a pick six. That game could have swung either way for a 17-point lead for either team. The defense bailed Jalen Hurts out multiple times, and I'm glad the way the defense were playing. They were hitting. They were flying. Fangio had these guys balling. They were giving up yards, but in the red zone, those guys were getting tight in the red zone. They were playing really good end-zone football, and I like that. But you guys are right. Maddox is fully cooked. I don't know why he's starting right now, maybe because Cooper DeGene is still hurt, but he's cooked right now.
Yeah, they got to get him off the field, Terrence. As soon as Cooper is ready for real snaps, I think he'll be in there. Or, if Rodgers gets back, from the hand injury, they could put Quinion inside and put Rodgers outside. But they can't survive much longer with Maddox. He was getting torched.
And here's the thing. Saquon Barkley, he's a monster. This guy is a beast. And it's going to be every week you're going to have to pick your poison pretty much to stop Saquon or these receivers on the outside. And Kellen Moore was cooking. This is all up to Jalen Hurts to run this Ferrari right now, because we saw in the offense that we didn't see last year. We saw he was sending Shipley in motion. He was sending A.J. Brown in motion, Smith in motion. On one play, he sent A.J. Brown and Shipley on motion, and it freed up. Devontae Smith was wide open, and that's something we did not see last year that I like the element. If we let Kellen Moore cook, this is all up to Jalen Hurts to do the things that he needs to do to get this team over the hump. And that's really all we have. That's really all Jalen Hurts has to do. They have the tools. They have the running back. They have the wide receivers. I feel like the defense is going to keep playing. You might have a couple of shootouts, but it's going to be hard to stop us, man. Because out of all the running backs in the league, Saquon Barkley was the number one acquisition that we signed that was out there. He is a game changer. And right now, sky's the limit for Jalen Hurts if he could correct those mistakes and stop throwing in the triple coverage. I think you said it, or you said it, Joe. If we don't turn the ball over, we can score almost every possession.
So they scored, and Terrence, Terrence, great phone call. So they scored, I think, 6 out of 11 possessions on Friday night, and they turned the ball over, what, 4 times? Or 3, they recovered the last one, right? They recovered the fumble and got the field goal at the end. Mm-hmm. So 3 possessions, Hugh, they gave away. So they had the ball 11 times. So if you take away the 3 turnovers, they scored 6 out of 8 times they didn't turn it over. Like, when they didn't turn it over, their scoring percentage was 75%.
Yeah, and that's where I projected them to be, as far as like you got to win the turnover, like the possession battles. But yeah, they're on pace, man. I think that this week when they play Monday night will be much better, and it'll be a lot more crisp than it was the week before. And I think we'll get a chance to actually see how they wanted this thing to play out as far as the beginning of the game.
So Moore is getting a lot of credit. Obviously, the receivers played well. Saquon played well. You know who deserves some credit today? And that was a question, at least in my mind, before the season started. I thought the offensive line did a good job. Now, the only issue was the snap stuff with Juergens. That I feel like they'll figure it out.
Yeah, that'll
take care of it. Mekhi Becton, though. Not bad. No, I thought he played well.
Not bad. Like, it was a couple times where, you know, Jalen was under duress, but for the most part, yeah, not bad.
I thought the offensive of the question marks on the O-line, D-line, the offensive line walked away looking better. If you take, you know, obviously the fumbles,
like
for
I
the
said,
snaps. Not
I feel like some of that may have been the field, and some of that may have been the way that the game just started, because it kind of sped the clock up a little bit for him. So yeah, it's a little bit of both of those things.
Yeah, but the edge rusher's got to be better. I mean, that's the reality. But Ed in Phoenix, so what's up, Ed?
Hey, crew, how's it going?
Good, Ed. What's up, Pat? What are you thinking?
Kyle, I love the 10 Crack Commandments returning from commercial. That's a good tune.
Kyle's an idiot.
So a couple of things. I'm going to take a Jalen Hurts cliche and kind of turn it on its head. You remember the one he said, well, you either win or you learn?
Yes. Well,
I think... And, you know, going back to 2015, when Sam Bradford had that amazing preseason game, I bought it hook, line, and sinker and thinking it was going to be great. It wasn't. I think there's a lot of material for him to just camp out in that film room until he figures something out because, you know, a receiver that has doubled with safety help over the top, you just don't throw that pass. There's no two ways about it. So
yeah, there's almost nothing good that could come from it. Like if you complete it, it's almost an accident, and it, you know, obviously it's more likely that it's incomplete or what we saw on Friday night. It's just for a fifth-year quarterback, and we heard Jaws say it. It's not the kind of play a fifth-year quarterback can make. I mean, first and second year, Ed, I get it, but not a fifth-year quarterback in the NFL.
No, and as far as Bryce Huff goes, you mentioned earlier that I guess he had the tell when he was rushing the passer, he'd have his hand in the ground. Being a smaller guy, Hugh, if he's going to be in a two-point stance, like what kind of like hand work can he do? Obviously, you know, he can't do what Myles Garrett does, but like in terms of quick hands to like throw a tackle's hands off so he can get inside, like what can he do there?
Well, I would think that he needs to figure out like the space that he wants to work in between the tackle and the tight end that's over there, because a lot of times he's over there, that tight end is going to get a push on him. So he needs to figure out how if he wants to line up outside of tight end or if he want to line up in between them, and if he can rush from a 2-point, because from the rushes that I've seen and I'm watching, you can tell like when he's playing the run, he's up in a 2-point.
Yep.
And when he's getting after the passer, he's dug in and he's ready to go. And all the tackles are doing is just riding him out to the outside. So he needs to try to figure that out. It's going to take a little bit of time for him to get used to playing, the way that they want him to play.
Good call, Ed. We appreciate it. 215-592-9494. For coming up, we're going to give credit to a guy who was possibly the MVP of Friday's game. And if it's time to raise our expectations for him the rest of the season, your calls. Plus, we'll go right in with the dope next. Howard's thoughts on the game, Jalen Hurts' performance, and everything else. That's coming up next. This is the Midday Show. 215-592-9494 to be part of it on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilly. Howard Eskin's going to join us, by the way, coming up at noon today. His take on the game. Now that we've had about 48 hours to kind of digest this thing. Eagles 34, Packers 29. The win, Saquon, Jalen, what has hit you the most from the game on Friday? Hugh, I would say one thing we wish would have hit us a lot would have been the pass rushers, the outside guys, you know, the stand-up pass rushers. But they didn't do much. They combined for no sacks in one hurry. That was by Josh Sweat. But Hugh, the guy that everyone's really talking about or wondering about
is
Bryce Huff. They gave this guy $51 million. It is ironic, and I understand that positional value in the NFL is how contracts go. But like, you watch the game on Friday, and if you were an alien, you came down from outer space, and I said, the Eagles paid Bryce Huff and Saquon Barkley this offseason to come here. And I said to you, which one got paid more money? You would have said, Well, the guy that was the best player on the field, Saquon. No, the truth was Bryce Huff was their biggest contract to the free agency this offseason. He looked invisible at times. He wasn't making plays. He wasn't hitting Jordan Love. What did you notice? As a guy who's done what he's trying to do, what was going on Friday?
First of all, he's playing left outside linebacker. He was slipping a little bit. I'm watching, as we talk about this, Joe, I'm kind of watching the film. A couple times I saw his rush. He got off the ball a little bit late because they had the actual tight end over there. And it kind of, you know, threw him off a little bit because he's lining up outside the tight end because he's worried about, you know, that release of the tight end. The tight end gave him a little bit of push, and he got off his pass rush. I feel like he's still getting comfortable playing the position that he's playing and playing every down. Like I said when I talked to Elliot, dude, playing first and second down and then having enough juice left to rush on third down. There was a couple times he was out there. He looked a little tired. I think he's still getting comfortable in the role that he's in. Now, as the game progressed, he has some better pass rushes. And he has to understand, man, as small as you are, because I'm looking at it right now. As small as you are, you have to use your speed to your advantage. A lot of times, he just line up wide, and the tackle's just taking him up the field. Mm. He's not threatening that inside at all, because there's a lot of space inside if he decided to take the inside move to get to the quarterback. He just has to get comfortable playing that position. I think it's going to be a little while, man. We got to be a little patient with Bryce. I still got him down for 22 sacks, though.
His career as an Eagle or this year?
No, this year.
Okay. We got to alter that?
I said that with a straight face, too.
I mean, come on.
I'm saying it with a straight face. Because sometimes I'm like I said, I'm looking. He has a little bit of a tail. When he's pass rushing, he likes to get in all fours. When he's playing the run or he's trying to see what's going on, he's standing up. So that's, you know he's not pass. So he's kind of easy to fool. He's going to have to figure out whether or not he wants to be a up pass rusher or a down guy. You know, because they're going to look at that. And they're going to use that against him a little bit. But he's still getting comfortable.
We might need the Twitter account that has tracked the runs tracker for Hugh to track the Bryce sacks.
Stat.
Yeah, yeah. If the guy wants to change the account over.
And how many sacks he needs to average
per game
the rest of the way.
So, of all the things Friday.
Sacks come in bunches, man.
Hopefully. We need bunches. Of all the things Friday on defense, the pass rush, the edge rushers are the one that I find the most troublesome, worrisome. Like, the secondary gave up some plays, but I don't think Avante Maddox should start anymore. And once guys are healthy, I don't think he's going to start. I think they'll get him off the field. And I think that secondary could be okay.
Yeah, the secondary is going to be fine.
The linebackers played pretty well. The secondary made some mistakes, but I think that'll fix itself as they get more experience and get Cooper on the field, get Isaiah Rodgers back. And the defensive tackles made some plays. Jordan Early, Jalen Carter's a stud.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle, it's the edge rushers. That was our biggest concern before the season, and I didn't feel anything Friday to make me feel like, oh, they're good there.
Yeah, and I guess my question about the whole Bryce Huff thing and the pass rush in general was like, how valid of an excuse is the poor field conditions and then really not being able to get
to them? I think that's somewhat valid. When you're a smaller, speedy guy, I mean, he was slipping and slide, man. I know that when Howard comes on, he's going to say that probably shouldn't have been an issue. It really kind of was an issue. I know we don't want to admit that, but we've seen two times where the field has played somewhat of a factor in the game. And you know, whether you like it or not, it did play a factor in the game.
Panic meter on Bryce Huff. Is it at a 0 out of 10, or is it like a 1 or a 2?
I'm not panicking yet.
Okay.
So, like I said, zero. I saw some moves from him. He got something about him. He just needs to figure out how he's going to use that to get to the quarterback. Because like I said, Joe, he has that speed off the corner. He just needs to engage a lot faster. He needs to engage that and tackle a lot faster than what he did in this game.
So I'll say this about the pass rush. Next Monday is an opportunity for them. I was watching some of the Steelers-Falcons game. They're going to play the Falcons, obviously.
They got after them.
Kirk's off the Achilles. Kirk Cousins was never much of a mobile guy anyway, but he can't move right now. He just stands there. Yesterday, he didn't move much at all. Now, if Kirk is allowed to stand there, he could throw, right? He could pick you apart. He's done that to the Eagles many times in the past. If they get to him, though, he'll go down for a sack, or he'll get picked off like he did yesterday. So the pass rush has got to be better next Monday. 215-592-9494. Hopefully the next time we do a Hughes breakdown, it's for multiple sacks for Bryce Huff and not another shutout. Zero.
I'm anticipating, but I will say this. They They might have to find a left defensive end.
Excuse me?
They might have to figure out.
They just paid $151 million.
I don't think, like, just watching the film and watching those guys over there, they don't have anybody that is physical enough to be that left end. Like, yeah. Brandon's 36 years old, man.
He outsnapped Bryhoff and Smith,
Brandon,
by the way.
Brandon, come on, man. You about to put that up. I know Brandon, he's still balling, but that's a lot.
I agree.
That's a lot.
I think we guessed it on Friday. He would outsnap the other guys, and he did. All right, we'll see how it moves forward. 215-592-9494. Perry in Philly's up. What's up, Perry?
Nolan Smith asked good rushes, though. That's pretty
Hey, guys.
Hey,
win's
Perry.
Win's a win. That's what I always say. Win's a win. Super pumped. You know, like my coach used to say, win's a win. But like everyone's touched on, Bond, he was amazing. I've never seen a linebacker like that since Trotter. So I'm very pumped about that. And like most people have said, Quinyon is a stud. The guy, I'm so excited. I feel like we got that cornerback one right now.
Yeah, Perry, you don't want to overreact to a rookie in his first game, but sometimes you could just see a guy that can play. And Quinyon Mitchell can play. I mean, and I thought they tested him, the Packers, early in the game. They threw deep to the end zone to Christian Watson, and he's right there with them. Like, I was like, all right, he can cover. He can play at this level.
He's got the swagger, which I love. But another thing I wanted to touch on, I don't know if you guys heard at all, like the season ticket member event that's been going on. And if you have season tickets, the Eagles sent you an email. You come. They gave away the coolest hat. It shows your section number on the side and then how long you've been a season ticket member. And it was amazing. I brought my four-year-old there, went through. They did a tour. You got to see the Super Bowl. You got to try on Super Bowl rings and just see how awesome it was to, see his face light up, get on the field. And, it's amazing. You see this ownership, and Jeffrey Lurie is such a nice guy. I've ran into him before. And it just night and day between the Eagles and the Phillies and the Sixers. And, I'm not here to talk too much about the Sixers, but, Josh Harris owning the Redskins, it's so hard for me to sit at a Sixers game and give them money when it just feels like such a business. And you got the Phillies and the Eagles, and just it feels like a family.
It is, and, Perry. It is night and day. You said it. It's a family thing, and it resonates. I mean, Perry, we were, and that's really cool, that event you got to do in the hat and bringing your kid. And Perry, we appreciate the call. Hugh, we were at the link on Friday doing the pregame, and we had Dave Spadaro on, for his segment during the pregame show. And you were stayed for a little bit for the party, right? The Eagles,
the watch party, yeah.
And David told us, and we could feel it just being on the plaza there doing the pregame show, that the Ravens on Thursday night held a similar kind of party.
Only three people came?
Yeah, I think like 1,000 or something, or 1,500, three, whatever the number was. But,
three sounds just so bad.
Why even open the doors? But like Baltimore got 1,000 or whatever, 2,000 people to watch the game at the stadium when their team was in Kansas City. And that's fine. That's, not to rip them. That's fine. But compared to here, how many people were there? Dave said like 10 or 15,000?
10 or 15. I think they said they sold like 10,000.
It was 9,500 to 10,000.
Yeah, about 10,000, something like that. So, yeah, that was pretty impressive, man. And they did it big. They had food spread out for everybody. They had the concessions for most people that in that area. And it was nice. Had the big screen, brought out some old-ass Eagles.
Like you.
Not just myself. Me and Trey. We had a good time, man. Trey was doing an autograph sign. It was a fun time. It really, really was. It was great to see all the Eagles fans that were out there.
And NBC kept panning to the crowd at the link when the Eagles scored. That was kind of cool. Like Saquon scored, and then they show the people at the link going crazy for Saquon's touchdown. That was really fun. Robert in Germantown. What's up, Robert?
Hey, guys. Beautiful day. I'm driving out here in Kyle Country, Delco. Who knew it could be so beautiful?
It is a beautiful area. Robert, what are you thinking today?
I'm thinking our defensive line stinks. I mean, where were they? Carter, Davis. I was happy with Bond. I've heard you talk about that for the last while. And was happy with Marshall, and Blankenship played well. But where is our defensive line? I noticed, by comparison, Dallas dominated their defensive line. Micah Parsons, they just went nuts. And some of the other teams, too, were really getting back. We didn't touch the guy. Didn't hurt him at all.
No, not enough,
but
Robert.
But we did hurt him.
Well, they did hurt him at the end, unfortunately. Yeah, he hurt his knee. On the Jalen Carter got him at the end when he's got a knee sprain. But most of the game, Robert, yeah, Jordan Love was like a little bit shaky in the pocket, and I think that he was slipping a little bit on the field. But in terms of being hit as he threw, or they
didn't. he was pretty comfortable.
Yeah, it was Robert. Yeah, the edge rushers. Yeah, the edge rushers weren't good enough. I mean, like, they have to be better if this team's going to go far.
Indeed, but I did love Bond's play. I've been calling for good linebacker play for years, and finally, I think we got some linebackers back there who doing what they're supposed to do. Be effective, tackle people, don't miss tackles. It was great to see, guys.
And it was not just one facet. And Robert, we appreciate the phone call. I mean, Hugh, the thing about Bond on Friday, it's one thing if, you know, he got a couple of pass rush opportunities and he made a couple of plays. He also had 15 tackles. In the run game, he was making most of the plays, Zach
Bond. He was very, very active. Like I said, he's probably like, when I look, there's a lot of times where you look at some of the plays that were made, and it wasn't a whole lot of cats out there trying to tackle people. At least he was one of them.
Yeah.
He was one of them. There's a lot that you have to clean up, but at the same time, there's a lot that you can be proud of when you watch this Eagles team play, because they bowled the neck when they had to, especially in the beginning of the game. I'm pretty sure nobody thought that it was going to go the way that it did with your back against the wall like that. And Vic Fangio, Coach Fangio, had to pull some rabbits out of his hat. You talk about, remember early on, we talked about, is Vic a magician? Yeah.
He had some magician moments on Friday.
Yeah, he had some magician moments. Like, I mean, you got to give him his props, man, especially when you talk about the lack of pass rush that you got against that quarterback. Come on, man.
So
he's a magician.
Here's some magician work. Dumbledore. If you have a chance,
Dumbledore.
Go back and watch the Reed Blankenship interception. That, I mean, Reed made the play, right? I want to give Reed credit. But that play was a Vic Fangio interception. If you watch it, Bond faked a blitz. Like, he faked he was going to pressure, and then he dropped back and got in the tight end's way, and then, like, it kind of threw the route off.
Yeah.
And then Reed jumped up and made the pick. I mean, if you had told me in the first quarter that they were going to win the way they did, I would have said, I don't know. I mean, it was going the wrong way, but they buckled down. Not sure about this one. They buckled down and stopped them in the red zone.
That needs to be used more.
Not sure about that.
I heard that a few times. They were like,
really?
With certain people talking.
Jordan in Utah's up. What's up, Jordan?
Hey, what's up? How you doing?
Good, Jordan. What's up, pal?
First of all, I'm a huge fan of Hugh Douglas. Thank you for what you did for the Eagles.
Well, thank you very much, Jordan. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. I mean, if they would have, you know, I wish they would have signed you for a $51 million contract other than Bryce Huff.
Well, so does Hugh.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, what are we paying for? I
think probably would have been about the same output at the first game, though.
Does she do anything for us?
Yeah, but I think you could do a better job than he's been doing. Even at the age you are.
At 53, I can still. Nah.
You couldn't have been less productive.
There's no way.
Friday. No, you couldn't have been less productive. He had zero tackles.
He had one tackle, didn't he?
Was it one?
I think he had one.
Okay, I thought it was zeros across the board.
Well, I'm look like, as we're talking, the game is on, it looked like he had one tackle.
Let me check the official box.
Let me go.
That's what I'm going to do. Even if he had one, I think you could have had two.
I appreciate you having that much faith in me.
Jordan, what do you think about Jalen's play?
Jalen's play, I mean, the interceptions were concernful. I get it. But, like,
one.
I think he'll be fine moving forward. I think, you know, I think going forward, like, he's a great player. So I think they'll clean up things. I think he's in a different offense for the first time with, you know, he's had different coordinators every year he's played, really. So I think moving forward, he'll be just fine. I just, you know, it was concerning watching it. Of course, the first quarter was like, it was awful. It was something we didn't want to see. But, like, I think moving forward, he'll be great.
Well, I think that he'll certainly be better, Jordan. And we appreciate the phone call, man. We appreciate you listening. So Jalen will be better. But see, here's what troubles me about what we saw Friday. If it was the first time he had shown poor decision-making, I think I would just brush it away. Oh, new coordinator, right? This was last year. You know, Jalen Hurts 2 years ago, and really his first year too as a starter in 2021, I thought his best attribute was he didn't make mental errors. he didn't throw the ball, put the ball in harm's way very often. Mm-hmm. He protected the football. That has changed. I mean, the numbers don't lie. It's changed now over the last 2 years on Jalen Hurts. All right, so we did officially find, yes, it was one tackle for Bryce.
Yeah, one tackle. Yeah, and because, like I said, I watched the game and I saw it. I was like, oh, he got tackled.
But he did have the hat trick in these categories. The zero sacks, zero tackles for loss, zero quarterback hits. It's kind of what we're paying him to
do. Hey, Bryce. If you're listening to the station right now, don't take it personal, man. I mean, it is what it is. You got next week. You got next Monday night. Let them know. Show them what you can do next Monday night, bro.
Is he just saving it for the home crowd? Is that what it was?
That's what it is. He's saving it for the sequel.
I like that.
He's saving it for the field that he got after us on. No, we played up there.
Yeah, that was in New York.
It would have been better if that would have been the case. But anyway.
It's a good story. I like it.
Yeah, you know me. You know I like to embellish just a little bit.
Just weaving a nice tale here. Derek.
Just doing my best.
Derek and Paoli. Hey, Derek.
Yo, it's like y'all like Comedy Central, man.
What we do? Listen, I'm just saying.
Bryce Huff, that's his first game, man. He ain't paying all that money to go out there and dominate in one game. We gotta.
Well, you know, I don't know. Hey, Derek, that dog might not hunt because, you know, Vaughn went out there. He dominated first game.
You might not hear Vaughn's name the rest of the season.
Yeah, You're right.
The thing that I'm getting from the Eagles game, and after them first two turnovers, my head did go down. But the most encouraging thing that I got was the Eagles, last year, we would have lost that game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Two turnovers inside the red zone. We gave up 6 points. The snap with Juergens and Hurts and all that stuff going on. I feel like this team is definitely a whole lot tighter right now through adversity than they were last year already. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I like, Derek? I think Friday gave us the evidence that they've moved past last year. Because I agree with you. If this happened at the end, if this happened in December of last year, they don't find a way to win. Like they would have fallen apart after the first quarter.
And listen, the other thing is, a lot of them young cats on the team, they ain't never been on an airplane for 10 hours. Cuz you flying 10 hours over there, never probably been out the country. The Eagles, man, that was a good win, man.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt.
If we could do that with everything. Jalen Hurts, man, he'll tell you flat out, yeah, I got to play better. I felt like that first interception, he was antsy. After that little slippage with Saquon and it backed him up, and they was a little antsy. So that was a bad ball. That one that he threw in the end zone to A.J., I could live with that because if A.J. don't slip, that's not an interception. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But all this talk about he can't run no more. Yo, these DNs is 6'5", 220 pounds, bro.
And they rolling.
They running 4'5", 4'6". Hurts is probably a 4'6" guy at best. These guys are athletes,
grown man.
So him not getting the corner, if they're flanked out wide like that, that don't mean he's not fast no more. He can't, you know, up the middle is different, but getting around that edge with these young boys they got out there, that's a tough task, man.
Sure. Well, and
he's going to be good, man.
Well, I like Friday.
Got a lot of weapons, man.
They do. They put up 34 despite turning the ball over twice. That's the positive sign.
That's a big game, right? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, look, you got what? It's 11:30, right? You got till 2 o'clock, man. Throw some positivity. Green Bay went home with a loss, and they lost their quarterback for a couple weeks.
Man. Oh, that could have been the end of their season. Yeah well, they're, right?
Look
lucky.
How he got lost. So, some, like, desperation, Hail Mary. You know what I'm saying?
It could be something like negative, that, Joe. So.
Who's being negative? Yeah, Saquon's awesome, and Bon was on. And Bon was the best 53 I've seen in this uniform, maybe ever.
Leave Bryce Huff alone. Leave him alone.
Here's the deal. There's no positive. There's no negative. There's just what we saw, right? And what we saw is the win is great.
But it sounds so negative, though.
Bryce Huff?
Yeah, it is.
He didn't do anything, Hugh.
They got a tackle.
Oh, God.
You know how hard it is to get a tackle in the NFL?
Well, I couldn't do it, but he's paid to do it.
I don't give a shit.
All right, can we comment on what Derek said about the speed of Jalen Hurts?
Yes.
It's very obvious to my eyes he's not as fast as he was relative to the league 2 years ago. I mean, like, that. He used to get the corner. He doesn't get anymore. Now, he could still run a little bit through the last drive. He converted to first downs running. Yeah. I'm not saying he's like a statue now.
Kind of.
But he can't get the corner. I want him to stop trying to get the corner. It feels like a waste of a play.
I've been saying that. I said that even before the season started.
Yeah, but you didn't say it because he can't get the corner.
I didn't say it because he couldn't run. I'd say it because it it adds more weight to it. It has more heft when it happens, when it's not expected. See, Jalen's still playing like people don't know he's a running quarterback, or people try to, you know, make him run. Like that's how Green Bay played him the other night. That's why it was so easy. They had a spy on him, and every time he took off running, they had somebody there for
him. He used to beat that spy.
He used to.
Yeah.
Now he's not so much. Whether that is because guys have gotten faster, whatever it is. But the bottom line is this. He ran when he had to, and he came up big in the fourth
and he
quarter.
Did. And
that's all I need from him. That's it.
That's fine. We have to eliminate the wasted plays where he just goes to the right.
Who was that talking crazy, talking about six design runs for him? Friday, when we did – well, was it – yeah, we did the show Friday. Who said something about six design? No.
Oh,
no
six design. Spadaro.
No, we don't need that.
Well, not stop if he's that. Not if he's running at this
we
speed.
We need to stop it. We don't need that many runs. What you might hit me
well,
with?
Well, I just like I don't want to hear about other guys. The defense now, defensive players are all of a sudden faster from 2 years ago. Like that feels like the most.
I'm trying to be optimistic, big time.
I know you are.
Call it for what it is.
I feel like COVID.
Did he say it sound like COVID?
No, coping.
Oh. Coping.
Yeah, like coping like with the fact that Jalen has clearly lost his step. I don't want to pile on the guy. I like the fact that he clutched up in the fourth quarter. I think the reality that we have to face is
clutching up.
He did. I think the reality we have to face with this guy is that he's not the get-the-edge type of runner anymore. He's more of like and this sounds weird to say about a quarterback, he's like a downhill power runner. Like, they get him the ball while he's just, like, running right up the gut, and that's where he looks the best. And, like, when he took that dude, he carried a couple guys, like, laid his shoulder down and got the first down. Like, that's the kind of running that Jalen has to do. The whole, like, read option thing was so ineffective. And I always go back to what Nick Bosa said after the 49ers game. Like, there's clearly a concerted effort by defensive coordinators out there to stop Jalen Hurts from doing that. And that was clear on Friday.
So I've mentioned this a lot this offseason. And if he was a running back, which he's not, he's a quarterback. But when he runs and he takes off, right, he's running. If he was a running back and I said to you he had 1,100 carries on his body since the start of college, you know what you might say?
Derrick Henry.
He lost a step. And that Jalen Hurts has run the football over 1,100 times from Alabama to Oklahoma to the Eagles. It's natural. It makes sense that he may have just lost a step in terms of speed. And that's okay. He can still be effective. He can still win. This happened to Russell Wilson, Hugh. Not the Russell Wilson now that's a backup or whatever he is. Like, 6 years ago in Seattle, Russell lost a step. He was still effective for a while. You could be effective as a mobile quarterback, just not quite as fast as he used to be. He's in that range now. 215-592.
Yeah, I see Russell Wilson this season.
Yeah.
Russell's in that Donovan Viking stage of his career.
Hey, the worst thing you could have happen to you is that calf getting hurt, and Justin Fields doing what he did.
Yeah, the oven's beeping for Russell because he is cooked. 215-592-9494. Your phone calls, reaction to the game, Jalen's performance, and we'll let you hear what Jaws said post-game about what he saw from Jalen Hurts. That's next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Yes, let me tell you about Hatfield. And we are heading into the most wonderful time of the year. That's football season. And what's on the menu for football season? Pork, of course. Get ready for game day with Hatfield and put some pork on your fork. Elevate your kickoff cuisine with Hatfield's winning lineup of marinated pork tenderloins, bacon, and ham. Whether you're a tailgate king or a gridiron gourmet, Hatfield helps you savor the taste of victory. Visit simplyhatfield.com for recipes. Find your flavor with Hatfield.
Year five, he can't be making those mistakes.
Right, right. He almost made a mistake at the end of the game when he threw that ball in the flat that should have been picked off to go the other way. Yes.
We would have been behind late in that game. I don't know if you saw the corner.
Fumbled on the goal line.
Right. A couple decisions he made were not the right decisions. So, I was concerned about those reads. And I thought he played a little fast again. He was leaving the pocket. The offensive line, I thought, was sensational.
Yes, they were.
He had a lot of time. But also, I'd see this. And when this happens, it's not a good sign for quarterback. It means you're dropping your head and you're looking. Your eyes got to be up and scanning the field, down the field. When you start doing this, you can't see anything else. And that means he's looking for the run. And I saw too much of that. So I think it's something they have to begin to coach him a little bit harder on.
Jaws in the postgame show, NBC Sports on Friday. Critical Jaws. Of Jalen Hurts. And that one, Hugh, that we've talked a lot about the couple fumbles. I think that was more just center exchange. They'll figure that out.
Yeah.
The two picks, you know, one maybe, you know, he's kind of pressing early. All right, first quarter new offense. The last one, we got people defending. He's trying to make a play in the end zone. That one that Jaws talked about, That may have been the most alarming one. That play made no sense. That he threw it to the flat. The defender's just standing there. You know, if the defender catches that football, this entire station is in a meltdown mode
today. Yeah, we have a different conversation. No question about that.
Yeah, they recovered, and he recovered from that. And that last drive was impressive by Jalen Hurts, especially the runs and the throws to Devontae. Devontae might have been the most underrated player in that game on Friday. 8 targets, 7 catches in traffic. Loved what I saw to him. 215-592-9494. Terrence in Springfield. Hey, Terrence.
There we go. Huge old Kyle, what's up, man?
Hey, Terrence. What's up,
man?
Buddy?
Man, I was telling Kyle, a sloppy win, but I'll take it. I'm going to go to the negative first. Jalen Hurts had a couple bad passes where he had one where he threw it like triple coverage, got picked off. The one he threw in the flat that almost got for a pick six. That game could have swung either way for a 17-point lead for either team. The defense bailed Jalen Hurts out multiple times. And I'm glad the way the defense were playing, they were hitting, they were flying. FanDuel had these guys balling. They were giving up yards, but in the red zone, those guys were getting tight in the red zone. They were playing really good end zone football. And I like that. But you guys are right. Maddox is fully cooked. I don't know why he's starting right now, maybe because Cooper DeGene is still hurt, but he's cooked right now.
Yeah, they got to get him off the field, Terrence. As soon as Cooper is ready for real snaps, I think he'll be in there. Or, you know, if Rodgers gets back, you know, from the hand injury, they could put Quinyon inside and put Rodgers outside, but they can't survive much longer with Maddox. He was getting torched.
And so here's the thing. Saquon Barkley, he's a monster. This guy is a beast, and it's going to be every week. You're going to have to pick your poison pretty much to stop Saquon or these receivers on the outside. And Kellen Moore was cooking. This is all up to Jalen Hurts to run this Ferrari right now, because we saw in the offense that we didn't see last year. We saw he was sending Shipley in motion. He was sending A.J. Brown in motion, Smith in motion. On one play, he sent A.J. Brown and Shipley on motion. And it freed up. Devontae Smith was wide open, and that's something we did not see last year that I like the element. If we let Kellen Moore cook, this is all up to Jalen Hurts to do the things that he needs to do to get this team over the hump. And that's really all we have. That's really all Jalen Hurts has to do. They have the tools. They have the running back. They have the wide receivers. I feel like the defense is going to keep playing. You might have a couple of shootouts, but it's going to be hard to stop us, man, because out of all the running backs in the league, Saquon Barkley was the number one acquisition that we signed that was out there. He is a game changer, and right now, sky's the limit for Jalen Hurts if he could correct those mistakes and stop throwing in the triple coverage. I think you said it, or you said it, Joe. If we don't turn the ball over, we can score almost every possession.
So they scored, and Terrence, Terrence, great phone call. So they scored, I think, 6 out of 11 possessions on Friday night, and they turned the ball over, what, 4 times? Or 3, they recovered the last one, right? They recovered the fumble and got the field goal at the end. Mm-hmm. So 3 possessions, Hugh, they gave away. So they had the ball 11 times. So if you take away the 3 turnovers, they scored 6 out of 8 times they didn't turn it over. Like, when they didn't turn it over, their scoring percentage was 75%.
Yeah, and that's where I projected them to be, as far as like you got to win the turnover, like the possession battles. But yeah, they're on pace, man. I think that this week when they play Monday night would be much better, and it'd be a lot more crisp than it was the week before. And I think we'll get a chance to actually see how they wanted this thing to play out as far as the beginning of the game.
So Moore is getting a lot of credit. Obviously, the receivers played well. Saquon played well. You know who deserves some credit today? And that was a question, at least in my mind, before the season started. I thought the offensive line did a good job. Now, the only issue was the snap stuff with Juergens. That I feel like they'll figure it out.
Yeah, that'll
Mekhi
take care
Becton,
of
though. Not bad. No, I thought he played well.
Not bad. Like, it was a couple times where, you know, Jalen was under duress, but for the most part, yeah, not bad.
I thought the offensive line, of the question marks on the O-line, D-line, the offensive line walked away looking better. If you take, you know, obviously the fumbles,
and like
for
I
the
said,
snaps.
I feel like some of that may have been the field, and some of that may have been the way that the game just started, because it kind of sped the clock up a little bit for him. So, yeah, it's a little bit off both of those things.
Yeah, but the edge rusher's got to be better. I mean, that's the reality. But Ed in Phoenix, so what's up, Ed?
Hey, crew, how's it going?
Good, Ed. What's up, pal? What are you thinking?
Kyle, I love the 10 Crack Commandments returning from commercial. That's a good tune.
Kyle's an idiot.
So a couple of things. I'm going to take a Jalen Hurts cliche and kind of turn it on its head. You remember the one he said, well, you either win or you learn?
Yes. Well,
I think, and, you know, going back to 2015, when Sam Bradford had that amazing preseason game, I bought it hook, line, and sinker and thinking it was going to be great. It wasn't. I think there's a lot of material for him to just camp out in that film room until he figures something out because, you know, a receiver that has doubled with safety help over the top, you just don't throw that pass. There's no two ways about it. So
yeah, there's almost nothing good that could come from it. Like if you complete it, it's almost an accident. And, obviously it's more likely that it's incomplete or what we saw on Friday night. It's just for a fifth-year quarterback, and we heard Jaws say it, it's not the kind of play a fifth-year quarterback can make. I mean, first and second year, Ed, I get it, but not a fifth-year quarterback in the NFL.
No, and as far as Bryce Huff goes, you mentioned earlier that I guess he had to tell when he was rushing the passer, he'd have his hand in the ground. Being a smaller guy, Hugh, if he's going to be in a two-point stance, like what kind of like hand work can he do? Obviously, you know, he can't do what Myles Garrett does, but like in terms of quick hands to like throw a tackle's hands off so he can get inside, like what can he do there?
Well, I would think that he needs to figure out like the space that he wants to work in between the tackle and the tight end that's over there, because a lot of times he's over there, that tight end is going to get a push on him. So he needs to figure out how if he wants to line up outside of tight end or if he want to line up in between them, and if he can rush from a 2-point, because from the rushes that I've seen and I'm watching, you can tell like when he's playing the run, he's up in a 2-point.
Yep.
And when he's getting after the passer, he's dug in and he's ready to go. And all the tackles are doing is just riding him out to the outside. So he needs to try to figure that out. It's going to take a little bit of time for him to get used to playing, the way that they want him to play.
Good call, Ed. We appreciate it. 215-592-9494. Coming up, we're going to give credit to a guy who was possibly the MVP of Friday's game. And if it's time to raise our expectations for him the rest of the season, your calls. Plus, we'll go right in with the dope next. Howard's thoughts on the game, Jalen Hurts' performance, and everything else. That's coming up next. This is the Midday Show. 215-592-9494 to be part of it on Sports Radio 94 WIP.